You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
So when's the last time that you got your eyes checked? Right, you know that you went to the doctor and he or she said, is it better here or better here? Right, I can still hear my childhood doctor growing, my eye doctor growing up. I can hear that cadence. It was the exact same experience every time. Right, is it better here or better here? I remember when I was in third grade and I first got glasses. I was so excited, right? I was the kid in the back of the room who had to squint to see the chalkboard. And I remember how excited I was to get glasses because everyone else in my family had glasses. And so I felt like I was missing out on something. I found I was missing out on just putting things on my face every day. But then I remember going outside for that first time and just seeing how clear everything was. And then it was a number of years later that I got contacts for the first time. And again, I was excited because everyone else in my family had contacts and I felt like I was missing out. And I realized I was just missing out on poking myself in the eye every day. But I remember the eye doctor saying, okay, now go look outside and look at the trees. So I went out and I looked at the trees. And you know what I saw? Leaves. Apparently some of you have had this happen before, right? You go outside and you look at the trees and they're actual like individual leaves, right? It's not like the green blob that you drew in first grade or eighth grade, depending on your art skills, right? There were actual individual leaves in the trees. And then I was really getting frustrated because I was trying to get up and work out in the mornings, and I had to make the decision, do I work out in glasses or do I try and put contacts in when my eyes are still tired? So about 2.5 years ago, I got LASIK. And that was a really weird experience because they told me exactly like, all right, for my right eye, it's going to take 37 seconds for the laser to resurface your eyeball. For my left eye, it's going to take about 42 seconds to resurface my eyeball. And so I remember they did the right eye and everything went fine. And then in the left eye, I remember the doctor saying over and over, all right, keep looking at that blinking red dot. The problem was after about 10 seconds, there was no more blinking red dot. Everything had gone dark. And I remember people telling me like, hey, I freaked out when it happened, but you'll probably go blind for a little bit. And I was like, yeah, sure, okay. But my right eye went fine. And I'm like, so I'm just better than you all. So it's not going to happen to me. But then it went dark and I started to panic for about 10 seconds. And then the blinking red dot came back and I went, whew, I can see. Right? Because I don't know if you know this, but seeing is actually really important. It's really beneficial for living your daily life. And I remember then driving back into Omaha that next weekend so the doctor could see how everything was healing. And I remember looking out, and it was a sunny day for the first time, with partly cloudy, but I remember how blue the sky was. And I remember how crisp the clouds were. This was, as far as I could tell, this was the best that I had ever seen in my entire life. Like before I got LASIK, if I didn't have my contacts in or if I didn't have my glasses on, I had 2400 vision, which meant that when I stood and looked at a chart 20 feet away, a normal person could be 400 feet away and see that sign just as clearly. Basically, I could see blobs and colors. It's about it. Now I have 20/10 vision, meaning that I have better than perfect vision. My eye doctor was telling me the last time I saw him that actually the way the eye is created, the best that you could possibly see is 20/8 vision. And so I can see really, really well. Well, I don't know if you caught it in our reading in Ephesians today, but we're going to be talking a little bit about seeing. And if you'd in the trunk line, you get the three readings that go out, because in our traditional service, we typically do three readings. And I'd love for you, as you get that trunk line email, to be able to go down to the worship section. Usually it's down at the bottom, but sometimes we mix that up. And there are always the readings that we're going to be focusing on this week. It'd be great if you read through those, you know, as individuals, as a family, to prepare yourself as you come into worship. But all three of those readings actually had to do with seeing this week. You know, last week I mentioned the story of Paul's conversion in Acts chapter 9. And so this week in our traditional service and right now, we got to read some of that story. And so let me read to you from Acts chapter 9, starting with verse 17. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on Paul, on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. And then he rose and was baptized. And taking food, he was strengthened. And then for some days, he was with the disciples at Damascus. And we get this other story from John chapter 9. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And the disciples asked Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, but night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And having said these things, Jesus spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. And then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. And so he went and he washed and he came back seeing. In both of these stories, we get this idea that seeing is more than just physical sight. With this Saul and Paul conversion, not only were his eyes opened, but his heart was open, right? He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he immediately goes and he gets baptized. And then with this man who was born blind, it's actually a really long story. That's only the first chunk of it. It's really the entire chapter of John chapter 9. And so this man, Jesus heals him, but guess what day he healed him on? The Sabbath, right? So the Pharisees have to get ticked off about that. And so they go complain about Jesus healing on the Sabbath. And they ask this man, you know, who did it? And he tells them who it was. And they don't really believe him. So they go and they ask this man's mom. Like, I don't believe you. Let's go ask your mom. And the mom's like, well, he's old enough. Ask him. So they come back and ask him. And I want to read you the rest of that story, the response that this man gives. So from John 9, starting at verse 28. And the Pharisees reviled this man who was born blind, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but for this man, we don't know where he comes from." And so this man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You don't know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." And so they answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" I'm sure he said yes, but it's not recorded for us. And so they cast him out. So then Jesus heard that they had cast out this man, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the man answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." And so the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Right? Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone would open the eyes of a man born blind. Right? Healing the blind is a sign of the Messiah. The Isaiah prophesied that when the Messiah comes, the eyes of the blind will be opened. Right, so Jesus here is fulfilling a prophecy from Isaiah. But maybe you're looking up to the screens and you're saying, "Hey, Pastor, I don't know if you remember this, but we're in a series on Ephesians, and you haven't even dipped your toe into the book of Ephesians yet. Or have we?" Right, if you haven't already, I'm going to encourage you to open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Last week, I encouraged you to be bringing your Bibles with you, so whether that's the physical Bible, whether it's on your phone, but so that you can highlight, you can make notes, and so that when you go home, right? You can reflect on it be reminded of what you heard and then put that into practice. But if you didn't bring it with you today, go ahead and open one of those Pew Bibles, and we're on page 976 in the Pew Bibles. Now, I usually don't like to start, when I'm quoting a Bible verse, I usually don't like to start in the middle of a sentence. But in Paul's writings, there are times that I will break that rule. And the reason for that is our text that I read earlier today was two sentences long. The first sentence was seven verses long. So if you'd like extra credit for being in worship today, just so we're clear, right? You know you don't get extra credit for being in worship. But just again, if you'd like extra credit for being in worship today, and I expect one of you over here to do this, I would love for you to diagram this sentence. It's only seven verses long. I guarantee you it'll be a lot of fun. Mrs. Roberts, I would like that on my desk by Wednesday. Thank you. But there's one place, starting at verse 18. And again, we're going to start in the middle of a sentence. We're not going to finish the sentence, but I want you to hear this phrase. So having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his great might? So having the eyes of your heart enlightened, right? In ancient times, when someone talked about the heart, they weren't talking about the emotions, right? When we talk about heart, we're talking about love, we're talking about emotions. In ancient times, when someone talked about the heart was the seat of thought and will. So when they say heart, think mind. And then having the eyes of your heart enlightened, right? The light, obviously, as opposed to the darkness, is God's realm. So to have the eyes of your heart enlightened is to have your mind open to the things of God, to have your eyes opened to the things of God. And that's exactly what happened to Paul, right? He literally and spiritually had his eyes opened to the things of God. Same thing with the man born blind, right? He had his eyes opened to the things of God. Well, also, the same thing happened to you as the Spirit worked in your life. Your eyes, the eyes of your heart, we're opened to the things of God. And that's a lot of what we talked about last week, right? Because again, this was not meant to be read in different chunks, but really to be read as an entire letter. So this is a continuation of what we heard last week. But this week we get to hear the why. Why is it important that God has opened your eyes? Why is it important that the eyes of your heart have been enlightened by God's Spirit? Well, Paul tells us, and it's threefold. Again, let me read those verses to you. So having the eyes of your heart enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his great might? So again, what's the why? What are the three reasons that God opens your eyes? Well, the first one is so that you might know what is the hope to which he has called you. The second one is so that you might know what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And then finally, so that you might know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. So this morning, real quickly, I just want to look at each three of these individually. So first, so that you might know what is the hope to which he has called you. Now, as you look at this phrase, there are two words in here that biblically means something different than we would be talking like in conversational English. And those two words are might and hope, right? So that you might know what is the hope to which you were called. Now reading this in English, this is a maybe sentence, right? So that you might know. Maybe it'll happen. You might know it. You might not know it. And when we talk about hope in conversational English, you know, when we say, I hope something happens, it might happen, it might not. But biblically, these are certainty words. So let's rewrite this so that we can understand what this is saying biblically. So the why, that you would know without a shadow of a doubt, the sure and certain confidence that you have in Jesus. And again, that's a lot about what we talked about last week. So then the second thing, that you might know what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And again, to change that so that we can understand it better, so that you would know with a shadow of a doubt what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, right? Your eternity is secure in Jesus, right? That's your inheritance. An eternity in a new and perfect creation with a new and perfect body that will never tire or hunger or thirst or grow old or feel pain or feel sadness or even have a concept of death, right? That is your inheritance. Those are the riches of the glorious inheritance that you have in Jesus. That is that final day when Jesus will return to make all things new. And that is a day that we look forward to. And then what's point three? Right? That you might know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. Or again, to change that might out of there, that you would know without a shadow of a doubt what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. And I'll be honest, this third step is the one that I don't often get to. Right? I love step two. I love looking forward to that day when Jesus will return to make all things new and have that new and perfect body. I can't wait for that day. But if I only look forward to that, I'm often limiting God's power, God's strength in my life today. And honestly, that's Satan's greatest plan of attack on God's people. Right? Satan has already lost you for eternity. Your eternity is secure in Jesus. As Jesus has given you faith, as the Spirit has worked in your life, your eternity is secure in Jesus. So for you, Satan's greatest plan of attack is to keep you functioning at your own strength. Right? Satan's greatest plan of attack is to keep you functioning at your own strength. Satan doesn't mind that you look forward to the future and that you long for that day as long as it doesn't change anything about what you do today. And I look forward to that day. Right? That day will be a great and glorious day. But so is today. Right? The Spirit has enlightened the eyes of your heart so that you would know without a shadow of a doubt what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards you today. So the question is, what is it that you haven't given over to Jesus? Well, what is it that Satan has convinced you that you can take care of yourself, that under your own strength, under your own power, that you can deal with? You don't need Jesus on this issue. You'll just take care of it yourself. Is it a physical issue? Is it a relationship issue? Is it a spiritual issue? Well, whatever it is, give it to Jesus. And let him show you what his immeasurable greatness of his power towards you is. But I need to clarify something today, because when I say give it to Jesus, what you may have just heard was, let Jesus do exactly what I want him to do, but I'll just let him do it instead of me putting any effort. But that puts Jesus into a box. Actually, that puts Jesus into this little golden lamp that you can rub on and hope that he'll come out of and grant you three wishes. Right? It just turns Jesus into a genie. So when I say give it over to Jesus, I mean give the outcome over to Jesus, as well as the power and the strength to do it. Because often what that looks like isn't exactly what we want it to look like. Right? Think back to all the apostles. Right? And so many who were murdered for their faith. I guarantee you that wasn't their plan. That wasn't their greatest desires, that they could be boiled in oil or hung upside down on a cross or murdered, you know, have stones thrown at them and dropped on their heads. That was not probably their plan. But because of how God worked in their lives, because of that, because of their faith, because of the steadfastness in their faith, you are here today, right? You are standing on their shoulders. And remember that what God will, where we will ultimately see the immeasurable greatness of his power is on that last day when Jesus will return to make all things new. And so even if God doesn't do what you want him to do, it's because he has something better in store for you. Or maybe it's because he's waiting for you to give up control. So this week, as you hear God's word, as you take it home, as you reflect on it with your families and with your friends, and as you put it into practice, whatever you're still holding on to, whatever you're trying to do under your own power, give it to Jesus. And as Paul says, as he completes that really, really long sentence, may you know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. Amen.